Welcome to This Is Your Life with Michael Hyatt, where our goal is to help you win at work and succeed at life. My name is Stu McLaren, your host for season 5 of the podcast, and I'm in studio with the one and only Mr. Michael Hyatt. How's it going, my friend?
I'm doing great, Stu. How about you?
I am doing great, and we're going to be talking about something that I know you and I are both very passionate about, being family men ourselves. We're going to be talking about proven strategies to protect your marriage. And in today's world, there are countless examples of infidelity, relationships that are crumbling, all kinds of terrible things that are happening from a relationship standpoint. And I think that you and I would agree, and I think the audience would agree, that there's nothing more that we all want than a great, enriched family life, but we've got to be intentional about it.
We do.
And there's a lot of examples of where people are not intentional about it, and it begins to cause problems. And so we're going to be talking today about how to protect your marriage. But first, I want to hand it over to you because you have a story to share where infidelity really impacted you in a big way.
Yeah, I've sadly got several stories where this has impacted me. But one of the most visible ones, and I'm going to share this story because it was in the newspapers and several years ago, it was top of the news. And that was Arnold Schwarzenegger's infidelity. And apparently, here was a guy who had presented himself as a family man, who had supposedly a great relationship with his wife, who was a very visible guy. I mean, not only his movie career, but his role as the governor of California, had several children. And then it turned out that he apparently had one, possibly more children out of wedlock, shattered his marriage. Last I heard, his children weren't speaking to him. And that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. The social damage is unbelievable.
Has a ripple effect.
Yeah, and I'm not here to judge Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, I'm not his judge. He's going to have to account for his own actions just like I will. But I'm saying that there's a horrific cost. And most people that engage in infidelity have no idea the ripple effect that that causes. Mm. I can think of a friend of mine who had a relationship with somebody who wasn't his wife and had no idea what that would do. And to this day, still not speaking to his children, years later.
Wow.
Because of that one episode. And he's incredibly contrite now. He wishes he could go back and make it all right, but now it's out of his hands.
Mm. I had a situation years ago where my wife and I were working together in an environment, and we weren't husband and wife at that point. We were just boyfriend, girlfriend. But we were working together, and the person that we were working for, she was having an affair. Hmm. And it was dramatically impacting not only the office environment, but it was impacting the customers as well, because the customers were picking up on just signals from her that indicated that just things weren't quite right. And it created a challenging situation for Amy and I because the customers were coming directly to us asking direct questions.
Wow.
And so here we are trying to defend the person that we were working for.
Did you know that they were involved in a illicit relationship, or you just sort of suspected it?
We had, in full transparency, I had no idea. I was the most innocent,
clueless.
Yeah, I was clueless. Wouldn't even picked up on that.
Yeah.
But what happened was more and more people were coming to us saying the same thing. And it doesn't take much before you start to, your radar goes up at that mm-hmm. point. Worse, though, was this person's spouse came to us and asked us directly if this our boss was having an affair. It was very challenging. And I saw then how the dynamic of infidelity can play out in both business, because it was affecting customers who picked up on it because there was trust that was obviously lost. It affected this person's relationship at home, and it affected their relationship with their kids and their grandkids. And I'll never forget that was almost like, even though it was a bad experience to be a part of, it cemented the relationship that my now wife and I have together in terms of the value of really protecting that marriage and being committed to one another.
See, I think what sometimes people don't realize is that when there's an infidelity, it really is another word for betrayal.
Hmm.
And when people who are in your business or in your organization or just your friends watch that and they see that you're willing to betray your most important relationship,
right?
They have to wonder at some level, how are they going to treat me?
Yeah. You
know, how could I expect loyalty from them toward me when they can't even be loyal or have fidelity toward the most important person in their life?
And if they're not thinking it out loud, it's probably a subconscious thought that's happening. Okay, so let's talk about how do we safeguard our relationships? And I know that you have some strategies to affair-proof our marriage. So let's talk about that.
Okay. So one of the ways that I affair-proof my marriage, and believe me, I'm not immune. Gail's not immune. You know, we're people living in the real world just like anybody else. And we have a lot of interaction with people of the opposite sex. And so there's opportunity there for us as well. But we had kind of a very heart-to-heart conversation early in our marriage that said, if we're not going to be casualties, we're going to have to be intentional.
Hmm.
And so these were some of the ways that we agreed on. And one of them was that I purposed to invest in my relationship with Gail, and she purposed to invest in her relationship with me. So investing in the relationship. Now think about it this way, Stu. People spend all this energy in an illegitimate relationship, courting this other person, trying to impress them, spending all this energy, trying to rendezvous, trying to keep it secret, all that. If they would take the same energy, the same effort, and put that into their relationship, you know, go to a marriage seminar, address the issues that are moving you apart, get counseling, get therapy, whatever it is. But if you take that same effort, that same energy, the same money you're investing in the illicit relationship and put it in the legitimate relationship, you'd be much, much further ahead.
And I would even challenge people to think about the time when they were dating their spouse versus the effort that is put in to courting the relationship after they've gotten married. I know I'm guilty of this, where I was way more creative in trying to win my wife over.
Yeah, me too.
Than I have been now. And you know, even as we're talking here, I'm starting to think, starting to give myself a kick in the butt that I got to get back to that, because as you said, it's about investing in that relationship and being intentional about it.
Yeah, it is. Gail and I just this last week celebrated our 37th wedding anniversary.
Amazing.
So that's awesome. So I told her we're half done, 37 more. But I thought to myself as I was thinking about that coming up, I thought I want to make this an amazing experience for her because I never want her to think I'm taking her for granted. Mm. I want to invest in the relationship. So I literally, and this is a little geeky, but it's me, I sat down and I wrote out kind of a one-page outcome sheet of what I wanted to see happen on this 37th anniversary.
Yeah.
And so I planned the whole thing. And I talked about specifically how I wanted her to feel at the end of that day, and then I re-engineered it from there. How am I going to create that effect that leads to that emotion?
That's awesome.
And so, I mean, it involved the typical things. You know, I got reservations at a restaurant that takes a long time to get into, and this process actually started about 6 months ago. I wanted a special flower arrangement, unlike anything I'd given her before. I wanted her to buy a special piece of jewelry because she never will buy jewelry for herself.
Huh.
And yet she loves it. And so I bought a great piece of jewelry for her. I hand wrote a card, what she meant to me. And you know, I really got weepy even writing the card.
Yeah.
You know, because it reconnected with me with our relationship. And I think if you're going to have a long-term marriage where you're not just enduring, but you're enjoying, and it's your most important relationship, it takes that kind of investment, that kind of intentionality.
And when we are referencing or talking about investment, we're not just talking about money.
That's right.
We're talking about time. We're talking about creative energy.
Yep.
All of those things really come into play when we're talking about investment.
Yeah. And in this particular case, this 37th wedding anniversary, it did take some money to pull that off. But most of all, it took creativity and it took my intention.
Yeah.
Because it would have been really easy to just say, look, this is not a major one. This isn't like my 25th wedding anniversary. It's not like the 50th anniversary. It's the 37th.
Right.
So I'm going to get her a nice card and some flowers, call it good. Right? But no, I want to invest in it.
Yeah.
And the thing about, the reason that's such a protective hedge around your marriage is that if suddenly I was tempted with an opportunity to have an affair with some woman, I now suddenly have to consider, am I going to throw away 37 years of a relationship with this woman? Mm-hmm. Who's been so faithful to me and been such an amazing mother. And am I really going to trade that for a few moments of, you know, enjoyment?
Mm.
Absolutely not. So the more you invest, the more valuable that asset becomes.
Mm.
And our marriage, I think of that, it's an incredible asset. And I'm not about to throw that away.
Amazing.
And so I just encourage people, keep investing. And it becomes more valuable to you the more you invest.
Beautiful. Well, we're talking about different strategies that can help us affair-proof our marriage. The first one, invest in your relationship. What's the second strategy?
You know, I've written on this too, and I know it's controversial, but I'm just going to tell you what I do. You know, people can do whatever they want to do, but I set specific boundaries. And this probably sounds a little old-fashioned. It's going to sound a little legalistic to people, but so be it. I think sometimes we could use a little old-fashioned common sense. So here are some of the rules that I've set for myself. I will not go out to eat alone with someone of the opposite sex.
Hmm.
I just don't, you know? I've had women who, after I first posted that in a blog post I wrote about this topic, said to me, well, you're depriving the women executives in your company of opportunity. And I thought, no, I don't think so. You know, I think it's only wise. I remember when I became one of the publishers at Thomas Nelson, we had 14 divisions, and I was promoted to be the divisional leader of one of our divisions. And I suddenly had a vice president of marketing that was a female.
Yep.
And phenomenally competent, really great, with a great marriage. And I sat down with her and I said, look, you and I are going to be traveling a lot because we have to go see authors and so forth. And I said, I'm going to talk to our boss, my boss, and I'm going to make sure that he's okay that when we travel, we're going to take a third person with us. Because I said, I don't want to be in a position and I don't want to presume anything here, but I just want to be smart.
Yep.
You know, and I don't even want to give the appearance of evil. I don't want somebody to get, you know, add one and one together and get three. And so we're going to always travel with a third person. I don't want to eat alone with you.
Yeah.
And this isn't because you're evil or you're dangerous. It's none of that. But I just don't want to create a circumstance that makes this convenient.
Right.
For either one of us.
You're just removing any possibility.
Any possibility.
And just creating a scenario and a situation where it would just never happen.
Yeah, it just would never happen. I just don't want to go there because, you know, I'm not that different from any other man that's out there, and I could have the same temptation given the right context.
Yep.
So I don't want to be in that context.
And it's a lot like, again, I'm going to make a real simplistic analogy, but it's a lot like trying to become more healthy and yet having tons of junk food in the house.
Yeah.
When it's there, it's temptation.
Right.
But if it's not there, then you're not even going to be tempted.
So just avoid it completely.
Just avoid it completely. Create an environment and a situation that just is not conducive yep. for those types of things to happen.
I do remember one particular situation, and Gail and I had agreed on these rules, and I was in a situation where I was meeting one person from a company, a female from a company, and somebody else from her company, a male from her company. And that other person didn't show up. They got caught in traffic. And so now all of a sudden I'm at lunch with somebody from the opposite sex, something I had told Gail that I wouldn't do. Did I make a big stink about it? No. Did I say anything to the other woman? No. What I did do is after the lunch, I called Gail and I said, hey, I just want you to know, here's what happened. And I just want that out in the open. I don't want you to hear about it from somebody else or, you know, think that I broke my own rule. I just want you to know what happened. And
right.
she was so grateful.
Right.
So it's just the way I kept myself accountable.
Got it.
So I won't go out to eat alone with someone of the opposite sex. Another rule is I will not travel alone with someone of the opposite sex.
Yep.
I will not flirt with someone of the opposite sex. Now, this sometimes happens in business context. You see people that are very flirty.
Hmm.
And I don't think it sets a good example.
Right.
And again, I think it creates that context that's not good.
Right.
So, and another rule is, and really this is going to lead us to, I think, to our third point. I'm working from a slightly different list than you are, is speak often and lovingly of my spouse.
Mm. Yeah, that's the fourth or the third strategy to affair-proof your marriage is speak lovingly of your spouse.
This is a fair repellent. Okay. So one day I'm on a flight back from Dallas, and I happen to be upgraded on this flight to first class.
Yep.
And I'm sitting next to a very beautiful woman who was drinking one drink after another and was getting pretty tipsy.
Yep.
And she started flirting with me. And so I pulled out my iPhone and I began to show her pictures of my family. That cooled her jets so fast. You know, that like ended the conversation. But I try to do that all the time. I mean, you know this from experience.
Yeah.
You know, I speak of Gail publicly. I speak of her with my friends, and I always speak well of her.
Right.
And I talk about my dedication to her and my commitment. And so I think that that prevents a lot of hits that would never, that otherwise might happen, but just don't happen because people know I'm committed.
Right.
I'm not trolling.
Yeah.
Now, you see guys that are out there, sometimes it may happen with women too, and when you're flirting, when you're out there without a wedding ring and you're married, you know, I think it just communicates something.
Right.
You know, it's just like, hey, you know, I'm married, but I'm open for business.
Right.
You know, or I might be enticed. And I just think, why go there?
But I love that you publicly talk so highly of Gail, because it does, it immediately, it affirms your commitment to her.
Yep.
And it reminds people that this is just something that is of tremendous value to you, and you're not willing to do anything to jeopardize that.
Yeah, and I've heard you do the same thing, and most of the people that are around me are the same way, and I think that it's a tremendous leadership opportunity for those of us that are in leadership to speak well of our spouse. Here's another subtle thing that doesn't really have anything to do with infidelity, but when people see how we treat the people that are closest to us, they make some assumptions. And when we don't treat those people well or we don't speak of them well, they also make some assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, what do you want your leadership to represent? Do you want to communicate that you're loyal to the people that are closest to you, that you're standing for them, that you wouldn't think of betraying them?
Right.
You know, that's what I want to be able to say.
And the other subtle thing about speaking about your spouse in a loving way, whether it be public, private, or what have you, is that it provides them tremendous confidence.
Yes.
And I think that there's so much value from a relationship standpoint in affirming their belief that they and their trust in who you are and the, your commitment to the marriage and so forth. And I know that, you know, my wife and I have so much trust with each other. And I believe that it's because of over time, it's like you just keep making these deposits in the trust account. And, you know, at that point, she never has questions. She never has doubts. And when those questions and doubts aren't there, then it just creates that commitment to each other so much stronger. And it's a lot more rewarding.
Well, I was just noticing even last night, and I've seen you do this multiple times. We went out to dinner last night. It was Megan, my daughter, you, and Gail. And so we went out for dinner after we had this video shoot. And I noticed that you immediately excused yourself to call your family.
Mm.
And you talked to Amy and you talked to Marlon. I'm assuming you also talked to Sam.
Yeah.
And that's just a priority for you. And so Amy doesn't have to lie awake at night, thinking, gosh, I hope Stu's being faithful or I wonder what he's doing. Mm. She knows for a fact that you that she is a priority to you.
Right.
Because you make time for her, even in the midst of a busy, busy day, you're making time for her. She's a priority.
And I learned a very valuable lesson from a friend of mine, Jason Gaynard, from Mastermind Talks. And one of the things that he does, which I think is amazing, and I immediately adopted it, was he said, if you ever go away for an extended period of time, like 3 or 4 days or even longer, he said, send something in the mail to your spouse.
Mm.
And so I did this. I was away recently for a speaking engagement. And I sent Amy and the kids like an edible flower arrangement or fruit arrangement. So it was edible fruit and it was all done
That's
nicely.
Awesome.
And I didn't tell them it was coming or anything. And then it got delivered and it was just a big, you know, surprise and stuff. But I loved that idea because it was basically reminding them that I love them, that, you know, I'm thinking of them even when I'm not there, that they're important to me. And again, it just reaffirms that commitment.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, great strategy. Thank you,
great.
Jason. All right, so with that, we've covered three strategies so far to affair-proof your marriage. We've got one more coming up right after this break.
If you're like most members of my audience, you're committed to winning at work and succeeding in life. But the truth is, you struggle with finding enough time to do it all. And that's exactly why I wrote my new ebook, Shave 10 Hours Off Your Work Week, 4 proven strategies for creating more margin for the things that matter most. You can't buy Shave 10 Hours Off Your Work Week, but you can get it for free by subscribing to my free email newsletter. My email newsletter notifies you whenever I've posted fresh content to my blog, so you don't always have to visit my blog to stay up to date. To get your free copy of the Shave 10 Hours Off Your Work Week ebook,
Visit michaelhyatt.com and enter your name and email address into the form on the page. If you're tired of feeling like there's never enough time to get it all done, don't miss your chance to discover how to reclaim the margin you deserve. Sign up at michaelhyatt.com.
Welcome back. We are talking about four strategies to protect your marriage. And Michael, we have gone through three of them so far. The first, invest in your relationship, both in time and money. Number two, set specific boundaries. Number three, speak often and lovingly of your spouse. What's the fourth strategy?
Remember what's at stake.
Wow.
You know, what story do I want my grandchildren telling about me? One of the guys that I mentored several years ago, very to this day bitter about that his father had an affair on his mother. And that's the story he's still telling to himself. It's the story he's told to his own children. That's how that man will be remembered. And, you know, I think it's important to say that, you know, I do believe there's forgiveness, there's redemption, there's all of that. But we are creating the legacy. Mm. We are the architect of the memories by which people will remember us. And we have agency in that. We have a choice in how we're going to be remembered. And the question I ask myself from time to time is, what really is at stake here? You know, I want to have this legacy of somebody who loved his wife, who was faithful to her, who had a long-term marriage.
Right.
And thank God, my parents, they're 82 years old at the time of recording this. They're still married. Gail's parents, both deceased now, but, you know, they were married 50 plus years.
Wow.
And, you know, it just creates a legacy and a momentum from generation to generation. And I want to give that. It doesn't mean that my kids may never, you know, they may have to go through a marital breakup. I hope to God that never happens. But I think when I can hand them a deposit,
right,
you know, a legacy where they could see modeled, not perfectly, but where they could see modeled one man's love for his wife, one wife's love for her husband, that gives them sometimes in that moment when they want to quit,
yeah,
you know, when they want to say this is too hard and they want to give up, it gives them that extra sense that they can make it.
Confidence. That it's possible.
That's right. And I can't tell you how many times, Stu, that my girls have come to me and said, thank you. Thank you for loving mom well. Or saying to Gail the same thing, thank you for loving dad well. And I think that's meant a lot to the girls because they've seen, my youngest daughter came to me recently and just said, I think all of my closest friends, their parents are divorced. And thank you for not doing that. It's just one less thing I have to deal with. And honestly, I don't feel like we were that good at parents. There's so much more I wished we'd learned. But the one thing that we have done, and I think the one thing that's been a gift to our girls, is the fact that we've loved each other. And that again, it just takes being intentional. You know, it's not something that's going to happen by accident. You're not going to drift there. You've got to be thoughtful about this because there's a lot of things in the world that conspire to get you off track, to derail your marriage, to break you up. And it seems like it's becoming increasingly the norm. And if you're not going to be one of the casualties, you're going to have a plan.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen by accident.
Well, buddy, I have appreciated what we've talked about so far, and I really want to kind of wrap this up as we conclude the episode. But before I do, I want to recap the four strategies for everybody. Number one, invest in your relationship. Number two, set specific boundaries. Number three, speak often and lovingly of your spouse. And number four, consider what is at stake. And as we look to wrap up the episode and conclude it, I want to talk about some dangerous habits that can lead to a poor outcome or the bad outcome, which is what we're talking about, which is an affair or infidelity. And so let's dive into that. What are some common habits that you see people have that put them in a situation that could lead to this kind of situation?
Yeah, and the reason I'm sharing these is because I think they're things to notice and things to move away from. That's all.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't want to dwell on these, but allowing yourself opportunities through a lack of boundaries with the opposite sex. So kind of setting yourself up for failure, kind of like you were talking about the example of you're trying to lose weight, but you've got all this junk food in your house.
Yeah.
Be aware of your environment. You know, I think the habit of not being aware of that and putting yourself in dangerous situations is not healthy.
And to be fair, when I first heard you talk about the boundaries, I had never even thought about it before.
Yeah.
It was never even something that I had considered or spent time thinking about, but I can see how it immediately eliminates any doubt or puts yourself in any situation where that could be a possibility.
Yeah, just don't put yourself in that situation. It's just one less thing you have to deal with and try to overcome.
Absolutely. Okay, great.
Second one, seeking affirmation outside of your marriage rather than within it.
Mm.
Ooh, this is a very dangerous one. And that's why I want to be the person who is most affirming of my wife, who celebrates her strengths and her virtue and calls that out, because I don't want her to ever feel like she's got to go somewhere else to get that. And I know she feels the same way toward me. Gail, for me, is the most affirming, positive person I know. She's the one who says to me when I have a lot of self-doubt, and I struggle with that frequently, she's the one that says, honey, you've got what it takes. So I never have any temptation to seek that anywhere else, because I'm getting all I can handle at home.
Right. That's awesome. So speak affirmation, or seeking affirmation outside of your marriage rather than within it.
Yep.
Got it.
Third one is having a sense of entitlement or assuming you're a special case. Wow. You know, this can happen a lot, you know, where people just think, well, you know, I'm entitled to this affair because I've got all this stress on me. People just don't understand. You know, maybe other people can't handle it, but I can handle it. I promise you, people are not made for this. They cannot handle it. It will blow up more than they could possibly imagine.
Yep.
Another one is allowing your body to make your decisions rather than your mind. You know, I mean, there's just certain physiological, biological realities that we have to deal with. And the fact is that all those are real and they're legitimate within the context of marriage. But I think allowing yourself to be ruled by that is a tremendous sign of immaturity. And I want to make sure that I'm using my body well, but I'm ruling over that and doing it in the proper context.
Right.
And marriage is that context.
And I think you said the key word there is being aware of, you know, how your body's reacting and knowing that you need to take control of that in certain situations and not let it drive you.
That's right.
Yep.
Yep.
Awesome. Okay. So the four dangerous habits, number one, allowing yourself opportunities through a lack of boundaries with the opposite sex. Number two, seeking affirmation outside of your marriage rather than within it. Number three, having a sense of entitlement or assuming you're a special case. And number four, allowing your body to make your decisions rather than your mind. It's been a great episode, buddy.
Thank you.
If you've enjoyed today's episode, you can find the full show notes and transcript and the video version of today's episode, all of which are all over at michaelhyatt.com. Also, can you take 30 seconds and rate this show? You can do that over at iTunes, and by rating it, you're going to help us get the show ranked higher and attract more great people just like you. We would really appreciate that. Michael, as we wind down this episode, do you have any final thoughts on protecting your marriage?
Yeah, the things that are really valuable, we take steps to protect. You know, I've got an alarm system in my house because I don't want people stealing my stuff. I practice two-factor authentication in all my internet accounts because my internet accounts are really important to me and I don't want somebody in there that's messing with it that shouldn't be. My marriage is infinitely more valuable than any of those things I've mentioned. And so to take some steps to be active, to protect it, to me seems reasonable and prudent. And I would just encourage everybody to have that kind of intentionality.
Awesome. And by the way, congratulations again on 37 years.
Thank you.
Well, my friends, until next time, remember, your life, your one and only life, is a gift. Now go make it count.